الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: والفجر وليال عشر والشفع والوتر والليل إذا يسر. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد فيها من أشهر أيام ذي الحج، تعدل صيام كل يوم منها بصيام سنة، وقيام كل ليلة منها بقيام ليلة القدر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والتسليم. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most beloved elders and brothers, ulama-i kiram, we know it is the day of Friday, and special virtue has been mentioned in the hadith regarding the recitation of durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially on a Friday. Every day we should recite durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Comes in a hadith, a person who will read durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send upon him 10 times mercy. But more especially on a Friday, we should make it a point and a habit to read durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It has been mentioned in the hadith that that person who will send durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,000 times, then that person will not pass away unless he will see his abode in Jannah. So each one of us, inshallah, read durood sharif. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad wa barik wa salim. Once a person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a Jewish person, and he says to Rasulullah, to Umar radiallahu anhu, that, "Oh Umar, there's an ayat of the Quran. If this ayat had to be revealed upon us, the Jews, then we would have taken the day of the revelation of this verse as a great day of celebration, as an Eid." So Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, which ayat are you referring to? Which verse of the Quran are you referring to? So he in turn replied, "Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam deena." That this day I have perfected for you your religion, وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي, and I have completed all my favors upon you, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ, and I am pleased as Islam being a religion for you. Umar radiallahu gave reply and told him, "I know very well on which day this verse was revealed. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Arafat, it was the day of Arafat, and it was a Friday also. Dual, it was two Eids. Leave alone one Eid you speak here, but it was two Eids for us." So alhamdulillah, to the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are presently experiencing, or we have just commenced with the Mubarak days of Zulhijjah. The days of Zulhijjah, in fact today is the first of Zulhijjah, which makes next week Sunday inshallah the 10th of Zulhijjah, where Eid will take place. In the verse I have recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, wal fajr, takes an oath by the dawn, by the break of dawn. And then, walayalin ashr, takes an oath by 10 nights. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath on something, it comes to show emphasis, to show the honor or the esteem, grandeur of whatever is taken an oath upon. So most of the mufassirin, the jumhur, or most of the mufassirin have given explanation that the oath of the 10 nights that Allah has taken over here is the oath of the 10 nights of Zilhijjah. The 10 nights of Zilhijjah. And then washaf'i wal watr. Many mufassirin has given an explanation that washaf'i, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken an oath by shafa, it refers to the 9th of Zilhijjah. And wal-watr, that refers to the 10th of Zilhijjah. Or the other way around, wal-shafa refers to the 9th of Zilhijjah, and wal-watr refers to the 10th of Zilhijjah. Mufassirin have given explanation for that. So showing the great significance that these days that we are experiencing or going to experience in the near future holds in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has taken qasab and oaths on these days. In a hadith that I have recited, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes mention that there is no day more beloved, أحب إلى الله من أن يتعبد له فيه, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to be worshipped in, from all the days of the year, the Islamic year we speak about, the all the days that we see, the most beloved days that Allah wishes a person to worship Him is these 10 days of Zilhijjah that we are experiencing at the moment. Further on, the hadith explains The person who will keep a fast one day, each of the any one of these 10 days, the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him is as though he has fasted for the entire year. A person who will make ibadat, qiyamu laylah, who will make qiyam of one of these nights, who make ibadah in one of the nights of these 10 nights of Zulhijjah, then it is as though, biqiyami laylatil qadr, it is as though you have stood up the night of Qadr. In the month of Ramadan, the last 10 nights of Ramadan, there is a night found in there, which is known as Laylatul Qadr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about that, and we have heard it over and over again in the month of Ramadan, the virtue of that night. Allah ta'ala says about it, Laylatul Qadri khayrun min alfi shahr, that the night of Qadr is more virtuous, it's better than 1,000 months. So similarly, in these 10 days of Zulhijjah, a person who will, or in these nights, a person will make ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will get the reward as though he has made ibadat on the night of Qadr. So how virtuous and how significant are in these days, are not these days we are presently experiencing. And yet in another hadith, it has been mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love good actions being done in any day besides these 10 days of Zulhijjah. So the Sahaba Ikram asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even jihad? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, وَلَا الْجِهَادْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا رَجُلٌ خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ, except that a person who comes out with his wealth and his life, he goes and sacrifices in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these days are very, very important. And why they are important? There are certain special actions that will be done in these days also, which I will explain just now. Amongst them, or before I go on, is that we find these days have started by Ramadan, by the commencement of Ramadan. Thereafter, soon as Ramadan terminated, when the day of Shawwal, first when you experienced the day of Eid al-Fitr, Shawwal began. Shawwal, Zilqada and Zilhijjah are known as the months of Hajj, Ashur-e-Hajj. From the time Shawwal begins, a person can don his ihram. Person who is going for Hajj, he is allowed to don his ihram from that time. So therefore, these months are known as Ashur-e-Hajj. So a person who is donning, who is in the state of ihram, we know, is not allowed to clip his nails, he's not allowed to shave his hair, and that different laws apply to a person in the state of ihram. So when the first days of Hajj now, when the first days of Zilhijjah begin, that is from today, any person who is going to sacrifice, make qurbani, it is mustahab, and according to some narrations, it is sunnah, for him not to shave any of his hair, or not to clip any of his nails. That refers to all of us over here. Now the question comes about, is that this law generally supposed to apply to those people who are in ihram? Why do we also have to do that? So, it has been explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to make a mushabahat. He wants to draw a similarity and a resemblance that we are like those people who are far away from those who are experiencing Hajj. But it does not mean that because we did not have the wealth to go for Hajj, or because of different circumstances and situations that we were faced with, we will not be allowed to get the mercies that those people will be getting. That Shair says, Tere mahbub ya Rab, shabahat lekar ayahu. Tere mahbub ya Rab, shabahat lekar ayahu. Hakikat tu kar de, main surat lekar ayahu. In other words, that we are in some way trying to resemble them. The mercies that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send down in Arafat, and the countless amount of forgiveness and blessings is going to come down over there. If we are going to resemble these hajis, and those people are going for Hajj little bit in this manner, then we will also not be deprived of those mercies, inshallah. The next thing that we have in the first 10 days of Zulhijjah is we find fasting. As in a virtue I've mentioned, one was that fasting in any of these 10 days of Zulhijjah, the reward is equal to a fasting of a whole entire year. But more especially on the day of Arafat, special mention has been made in the hadith about fasting on the day of Arafat. The day of Arafat being next week, Saturday, inshallah, the 9th of Zulhijjah. A person who will fast on that day, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, it is hoped that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive one year of his past year sins and one of his future year sins, just for fasting on the day of Arafat, that is the 9th of Zulhijjah. Remember there again, when we mention many of these hadiths, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that person's sin will be forgiven by making wuzu, or a person's sin will be forgiven when he walks towards a masjid, and similarly like this, a person's sin will be forgiven when he fasts on the day of Arafat, it means, or it only refers to, generally the ulama have explained, to minor sins. Because according to the sunnah and the sharia, the laws of sharia and the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in order for major sins to be forgiven, then it is a precondition that a person makes special tawbah for that. However, if Allah wishes through His mercy to forgive certain people, He has the right to do that, even though a person will not make tawbah. Therefore, we should also take point that we should make special tawbah for major sins that we might have been committing, especially in these first 10 days of Zulhijjah. The other special worship that we will be doing, inshallah, in these 10 days of Zulhijjah is the Takbir at-Tashriq. Takbir at-Tashriq is the recitation of Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar wa lillahi alhamd, which will commence on the Fajr of 9th of Zulhijjah, that is next week Saturday, and terminate on the 13th of Zulhijjah at the time of Asr, totaling 23 salah in all. This recitation of the Takbir, remember, it is obligatory. It is wajib and necessary for us to recite it for men audibly when they are reciting the salah in the masjid in Jama'ah. After that, it is necessary and wajib for them to recite it. And also upon the woman, according to the most acceptable view, the woman also, it is obligatory, it is necessary upon them to recite this Takbir after their salah. However, they should not recite it in an audible voice, they should recite this Takbir in a soft tone. The other special ibadat that we'll all be doing, inshallah, in these 10 days, or to terminate these 10 days, in fact, it's like a culmination. When we started off Ramadan, then we came into the month of Zulhijjah, so as a thanksgiving now, culmination of all these months of sacrifice and efforts we have been making is a sacrifice on the day of Eid or the Qurbani that we'll be making. Qurbani literally means, from the Arabic word Qurb, it comes, Qurb, closeness. So the purpose of Qurbani is to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, people might say that why don't we better give the money in charity? People need the charity more than we sacrificing an animal. We should understand at this juncture that Shariat is not based on our understanding and our intellect and how we seem to look at things. Shariat is based on the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what will bring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's what we should strive to do. Not what we should think. Like for example, let me explain that a person will go and stand on the plains of Arafat for 350 days of the year. His action will be futile. He won't be getting any special benefits for that. The only special time, the special benefits on the day in Arafat is if he goes stands on the 9th of Zulhijjah. Like that, if you look at different aspects of Sharia, we cannot put our intellect. We have to see what is the teaching of Sharia and how we are going to get the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah wants from us. Now a person is in a haram in Makkah, and he says that, you know what, if I read namaz in a haram, I will get 100,000 reward. For one salah in a haram, 100,000 reward. So I will not go to Mina, I will not go to Arafat, I will not go to Muzdalifah. Let me read my salah, yeah, I'll get so much of reward. Instead of getting reward, a person will be getting the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the command for him at that time is to leave the haram and to go to Mina and Arafat and complete different rituals of Hajj. Like that, we'll find different examples. It comes, like the famous example we all will know is the example of Qurbani also. In Qurbani, Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he's telling, Ibrahim alayhi salam is telling Islam, Inni ara fil manam, I saw in my dream, the dreams of the Anbiya are wahi. It is inspiration of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's telling his son, Ismail alayhi salam, Inni ara fil manam, Anni azbahuk, I see in a dream that I am slaughtering you. Fanzur madha tara, what do you think about this? His son, he did not say to his father that, you know what, which religion, which saint person would want to slaughter his son? Or the father also did not think in that manner, that how can I slaughter my son? According to our intellect, according to normal intellect, it's something irrational. People do not slaughter their own children. But they knew that it is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In front of my own intelligence, my own understanding, what I think, I have to put the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So immediately in response, Ya abati, if al ma tu'mar. Oh my father, do what you have been commanded. The command and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important thing. Like we find the day of Eid is going to come. Everybody will be happy and celebrating and be doing everything. But we should remember that we should be happy only by getting the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Laysa al-Eid liman labisa al-jadid, innama al-Eid liman amina al-wa'id. That poem comes. Eid is not for a person just to wear new clothes and to celebrate. But it is for a day to see that how much I have got the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قُلْ بِفَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَبِرَحْمَتِهِ فَبِذَلِكَ فَلْيَفْرَحُ. With the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the fazl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming upon us, then we must be happy. Not that we are engaged in so much of things contrary to the teachings of Sharia, then with that we get happy. To explain this, that how we need to get everything, or outwardly we might be seeming to doing something that is more ibadat, or pleasing good, but in the light of Sharia it is not good. They say that a person, if he's reading Maghrib Salah, and he says one day, you know what, today I'm feeling a little bit more pious, so let me read, instead of 3 rakats, let me read 4 rakats of Maghrib. So a person, instead of getting reward, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is getting the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is a distinguishing factor between sunnah and bidah also. Person who will follow and do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, whatever Rasulullah s.a.w. has showed, then he will be according treading the path of sunnah. He mentioned that one person comes to Mufti Shafi sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, and he says to him that I saw in my dream that you were standing next to a chalkboard, and you wrote the number 1 on the board. And then after the number 1, you wrote 0. So you asked those people, what's this? They said 10. After that, you wrote another 0. You say, what's this? 100. And then you add another 0, 1,000. Add another 0, 10,000. Add another 0, 100,000. And like that, he says, as you carry on increasing the zeros after the 1, the number and the value of the 1 increased from 10 to 100 to 10,000 up to 1,000,000, and it increased in that manner. He says, then you erase the zeros. And then you started putting the zeros before the 1 now. And then you ask them, what's this? They said 0.1. Then you put another 0, it says 0.01. Like that, the more zeros you put before the 1, the value of the 1, instead of increasing, it started decreasing. So Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, this is the exact example of a person who will do something according to sunnah, who will follow the teachings of Allah and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then he is adding zeros after the 1. He is getting good in his life. But the person who will do things as he desires, what he seems as something good, what he thinks will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what he thinks will please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he is putting zeros before the 1. It is decreasing his action. So this is the criteria we need to understand and bring into our lives. And that is a great lesson that Qurbani is teaching us. Before our own pleasure, before our understanding and our thought, we need to put the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front. Deen is not by our own rai, our own opinion, our own wisdom and how we feel things. Nevertheless, the days of Qurbani are going to come, and we need to present actions. These are the days now we need to present actions to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to do more amal, bring more amal in our life. Mentioned Maulana Rumi, mentioned an incident of a villager. He says a villager, one day he is going to visit the king. So he asks his wife that, I'm going to visit the king. Now let me take some present and some hadiah to give the king. What should I take? So his wife gives him this opinion here, that you take, maybe the king is in a city, so they don't have access to clean, nice, pure water. So you take a pitcher, a jug, fill it with sweet, nice, clean farm water, village water, and go give it to the king. So he carries it on his head. However, on the way to the king, he's walking on the way, a lot of dust and dirt settles into that water. When he goes to the king, he presents that water to the king, and the water is dirty, it's filthy, and it's not clean. Nevertheless, the king accepts it. He sees that man's sincerity. He sees that so much of effort he has taken to come and give me a gift. He accepts it. And he says to his people, they put gold in that pitcher and give it back to him. In return for his kind gesture, give him some gold. And then he tells his people that when you are escorting him out of the town, take him along the Tigris River. The Tigris River is a river full of sweet, clean, pure water. So when he goes, that villager is happy now that I came with water and I'm going back with gold. So the example that he has given, Maulana Rumi rahmatullah alayhi, is that a person, he'll present to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his actions, whichever way it may be. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will in turn give him from his treasures, unlimited treasures. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him from his unlimited treasures. This is how that king had given him and accepted him. So similarly, لَنْ يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُومُهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَكِنْ يَنَالُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. Allah is not in need of the blood of the flesh of the animal. Allah wants to see with what spirit and with how much of sacrifice we are doing that qurbani. Allah wants to see how much of effort, how much we are doing to get the taqwa in our life, to get His pleasure in our lives. So my dear respected elders and brothers, these days are coming. We should try and get more of good actions in our life. Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has mentioned that there are three types of actions. A person can do three types of actions in his life. One are those actions which are beneficial. Beneficial, whether it can be beneficial for his dunya or beneficial for his akhirah. We say, okay, beneficial actions. The second are those type of actions which are harmful. Harmful for his dunya or akhirah. And he says that third type of action are those actions which are not beneficial nor harmful, like neutral. They don't have, not beneficial any way or the other. So he says that the second type of action we should stay away from, everybody understands, the harmful to deen and dunya. And he says that the third type of actions, those futile activities and those things which are no benefit to us in dunya or akhirah, those also we regarded, should be regarded as futile actions. As actions that are harmful to us. And to explain this, he says that there's an incident of a person who used to come to Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, and he says to Mufti Shafi Sahib that make dua because my business went through a great loss. For us to understand this example of the different type of actions, he says that a person came to Mufti Shafi Sahib and says that make dua, my business went through a great loss. So Mufti Shafi Sahib asked him, what type of loss your business went through? Your business got burnt down or something like that? He says, no, I supposed to sign up on contract. Supposed to sign up on contract, but something went wrong over there. So I did not sign it. My normal business is still running. I'm still making normal so much of profit. But I supposed to sign on contract, it never come through. And to further explain it, a nice example has been given of a banya. This is an example. It says there was a banya who had a physician, he had like a pharmacy. So one day, he was going out somewhere, so he kept his son over there. He told his son that if customers come, you must serve them. So when the banya person came back, when the father came back, he asked the son that, what did you sell? So the person said that I sold so and so for 100 rupees, this two bottles they are sold, for 100 rupees each. The father immediately reprimanded him and scolded him and shouted him and told him, you know what, I could have sold that same bottle for 2,000 rupees. Now the son became sad and he was grieved that his father shouted him. So he went and sat down quietly one side. So the father looked at the sadness on the son's face. He went up to him and told him, you know, I don't have to be too sad. Don't worry, I still made a profit. He said, I was supposed to make so much of profit more. So he says, similarly, the actions that we are doing in our lives, which are not beneficial to us in dunya and akhirah, we're just passing our time in front of television, in front of, that is haram or harmful, but futile actions that no benefit to us in dunya or akhirah, those regarded as futile. We could use that time so much more beneficially, so much more of amal action which we can bring in our life and thereby gain the currency of akhirah. So we make dua, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and give all of us the ability of understanding this, of putting into practice fasting in the days that are going to come, making more ibadat in the days that are going to come, putting more action in our lives, more good actions. Remember this place we are preparing for this akhirah. As the poet says, Ho raha hai Umar, mithle barafkam. Ho raha hai Umar, mithle barafkam. Chupke chupke, rafte rafte, dam badam. Our life is decreasing. Every moment, every breath we are taking, our life is decreasing like that ice. Like that ice block. If you leave it outside, slowly it is melting. It is melting away. A time will come, there will be no ice left. In the same way, every moment of our life is passing. We are going closer and closer and closer. And Allah knows best when Malakul Maut will take our life away. So we should make a determination to bring good actions in our life. Make tawbah from whatever has passed. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.